T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Ready?
Are you ready?
Get ready!
3, 2, 1,
ready?
Yes!
Ready.
This is St. Louis's News Radio.
I'm ready.
And this is Overtime.
Okay.
1,529 days between professional football games here at the Dome, and the local fan base has responded in a big way. The Lower Bowl sold out here today. They've come with wings, they've come with gear, and they have plenty of time to get loose and ready for this game today.
Is from ESPN telling the nation about our Battle Hawks fever. Good morning, I'm Debbie Monterey. Hello, Charlie Brennan.
Crunky sucks!
Hi, Amy. Mark scores.
Oh, hey, Debbie.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I have to say, when I saw the video of the players coming through this tunnel of, it seemed like thousands of fans at the beginning of the game as they were making their way into the dome. The faces of the players, they looked, I don't know if it was surprise, right, or delight or just shock and enjoying this moment of these, of people going crazy. The town has Battle Hawks fever. Any thoughts about the game, Charlie?
Yeah, I do. It could not have worked out better for the XFL. I mean, the weather was perfect. I mean, look, what if that game was held today? It would have been much different.
Yes, driving in. I mean, what if today were yesterday?
Exactly. I mean, I got there about 11 in the morning, maybe earlier, I don't know, and already people were drinking their tails off. And there was a huge, in Bob Bear Park across from the stadium, you know, there were people congregating there, tailgating. And then I know they were at Ballpark Village, although I wasn't there. They were at the MAC, that parking lot. Downtown St. Louis had tons of people, many of them dressed like Battle Hawks. Schnucks had this huge display of potato chips giving away for free. I'm not talking small bags. I'm talking big bags. And I said, these are free? Yeah, take them, take them. So I saw a homeless guy go, they're giving away free chips. Thanks, I haven't had breakfast. And it was just a great atmosphere. And then inside, I don't think I've been in an arena that was that loud. Even, I mean, I can't think of a game where it was as loud as it was yesterday. And it was only the Lower Bowl was filled. So I haven't been to all the, I didn't go to all the Rams games. So who did? But
I did.
It was quite the atmosphere. And the funny thing is, you take a look at this morning's Post-Dispatch and, you know, you got the Battle Hawks above the Blues. They both won. And then I looked at the New York Post for their coverage. I don't even think they covered it. I couldn't find it on the New York Post's website today. Huh. Their Guardians lost to our Battle Hawks. You wouldn't know it if you were reading the New York Post.
I guess New York doesn't have Guardian fever.
No, I think they've got other things probably to keep them busy, right? They have a lot of choices in New York, I'm guessing. But with football, it's very personal in St. Louis. So I watched it on TV. I did go to those Rams games, both when they were the greatest show on turf and when they were not so much, when they couldn't give Rams tickets away. Like, we will pay you $5 to take these tickets and go to the games. And it got pretty darn loud in the dome, but it was fun to see it on TV, to see people in the dome, to see football in St. Louis. All of the aerial views and the panoramic shots of people tailgating was very exciting. I think my favorite aspect of this Battle Hawks fever is that the Battle Hawk is actually a plane, and that's why their official hashtag for the team is cleared to engage. But the call was so organic, and the community doesn't care what a Battle Hawk actually is. And I've heard different people say, well, the dome should be called the Birdcage or the Coliseum. other people have said, well, and usually these people are associated with the XFL, have said, well, it could be called the Hangar because the Battle Hawk's a plane. St. Louis doesn't care.
We're like, we're not doing that.
People have got feathers on, they're birds, and the Battle Hawk is not a plane at all, or is not a bird at all. I love it. I love the organic caw and how it's these two different mascot perceptions. I don't know when else
I'll
has
tell
that
you
happened.
What. Speaking of yesterday, it was just, you know, you're getting 29,500 people in downtown St. Louis, and that doesn't happen for every event. And, you know, maybe it was lightning in a bottle. I don't know. But people love their football, and they yesterday loved their Battle Hawks. And the thing is that there is a lot of bitterness out there because there's a lot of anti-Kroenke, you know, sentiment. And that can't last forever. Eventually, you're going to have to, like, love the players and know the name of the tight end. And we're not quite there yet.
Although with the score yesterday, they did put on a show.
They did.
So that
they did.
Keeps people coming back for sure.
I just keep laughing because what if KMOX had a mascot and it was, you know, it was a bird, but everybody thought it was a tiger. And so the community ran with the tiger and we're like, actually, it's a bird. That's what's happening right now. The Battle Hawks is a plane, but the community is running with a bird.
Although
I love it.
It's much easier to dress up as a bird. How do you dress up as
the
a plane? You know? I'm coming dressed as a plane. How do you do that?
I agree.
And then what would you do instead of caw?
Well, I'm trying to think. Even the team symbol is wings, right? It's not a plane.
But it's like the shape, right, with the sword. It's kind of like the shape of a plane. And then if you spin it upside down, you can see STL, which is pretty cool.
All right. Well, we have another sports topic to get to in just a bit. And it's a sports figure that most people are familiar with. But also, that was the good. Mardi Gras, which was huge. Mardi Gras and the Battle Hawks home opener were the good. When we come back, the bad. We have another child shot in St. Louis. It's 8:39. Traffic and weather together are on the way.
From pitchers and catchers reporting through the final pitch of the spring. Hey, it's Chris Raby. I'm in Florida, and I'll have daily spring training reports mornings and afternoons. Sponsored by Together Credit Union. Share your dreams. We'll share the journey. And by Norm's Bargain Barn, the place for discount windows, doors, and cabinetry. On your home, the Cardinals, KMOX.
KMOX News Time, 8:42. I'm Debbie Monterey. That is Amy Marks-Kors, along with Charlie Brennan. Okay, this is news that we unfortunately are almost getting used to hearing. Doesn't make it any less horrible and tragic. It was Saturday, broad daylight, middle of the afternoon, Kings Highway East neighborhood. A gunman opened fire on a car as it drove through an intersection, killing a six-year-old boy and critically wounding his nine-year-old sister. The mom in the car was cut by flying glass. It happened, I think, at 1:30 in the afternoon, broad daylight. Family just driving to wherever they were going. Amy, what was your first thought when you heard this, and why can we not get a handle on this horrendous gun violence?
Well, it's absolutely tragic. And as you mentioned, my first thought was, oh my gosh, again, like another child we've lost to gun violence, and how this is absolutely intolerable. And I know I sound like a broken record, but I want to bring Thomas Apton. Do we keep bringing the city leaders, the community leaders together and talk about this violence in a way that we have to take action today or tomorrow, right? We can't keep putting it off. Thomas Apps' book, Bleeding Out, we had him in town, Charlie and I did. It looks at gun violence through triage, saying you have to go after the shooters first. Of all the people in the city, it's a very, very small percentage of people who are doing the shootings, even within the gangs themselves. And when you focus on the shooters as the bullseye, right? So you have the bigger circle is poverty, inside that circle is crime, inside that circle is violent crime. You go after the bullseye, you go after the shooters first. And once you go after those individuals, it makes all those anti-crime measures, anti-poverty measures more effective. But until you get the shooters off the street, I don't think we're going to see an end to this.
Yeah. The city is proceeding with what's called Cure Violence. Now, this is a Chicago-based not-for-profit that has had mixed results around the country. It's going to start sometime this spring. Some people have criticized the city for being a little slow in getting that act together. Apt of Harvard has written that cure violence works in some cities, not in others. I think two things are going on. The local leaders don't really appreciate a lot of out-of-town support. So Apt is, people are slow to invite Apt here because he's out of Harvard. They think, well, our situation in St. Louis is unique. He says it's not unique. It's the same in Baltimore and Boston and in St. Louis. The other thing is, overall, I think that our Missouri gun laws are so liberal. If our police pull you over, if they stop and frisk you, they might get a gun, but you're allowed to have it. You know, you don't have to have a license in this area. So what can the police possibly do? It's easier to, you know, patrol Mardi Gras where you look around for underage drinking. But how are you supposed, in this case where the six-year-old was shot, someone with a gun fired on the car with three kids in it at an intersection in North St. Louis. How do you possibly patrol that? And even if you find the guy with a firearm, he's allowed to have it. You know, he doesn't have to have a license and a permit from the sheriff in the state of Missouri. So it's almost like we've got the perfect storm in St. Louis. Really liberal gun laws in the state level. And then locally, fractured leadership that is really concerned but just doesn't have its act together.
Yeah, as you mentioned, even if a gun owner is required to have a permit, that would give the cops a reason to confiscate a gun or take these illegal guns off the street. But again, even as Thomas Aptus...
What are illegal guns?
If that person doesn't have a permit.
Yeah, and you don't have to have one
right
in the state, right?
But we've talked about, like, if they were to make a permit necessary in the city, that would help the cops at least a little bit, since the majority of the crimes committed, gun crimes, are illegal guns. It's not responsible gun owners.
Right, and I will take my hat off to Stu Durando of the Post-Dispatch, who gets his pay by covering the Billikens and St. Louis University and other sports. But on the side, he's written about this in a great book, taking a look at pediatric gunshot wounds. And he points out in the last 5 years, in our area, pediatric gunshot wounds have just gone off the charts. They're up like 67% over the previous 5 years. And that really, I mean, with all due respect to every other issue, this is issue number one, or it should be.
Well, and just in a ironic twist of word usage, you mentioned that it was the liberal gun policies, although the liberals do not like it and have met with the governor to say, let's please not have, let us have more conservative gun laws, although the governor is not likely to agree with letting St. Louis and the other big cities do it because he's running for re-election.
I mean, liberal in the sense it's laissez-faire.
I know, but it's just an ironic twist of word usage. Hey, it is 8:48, and when we come back, Tony La Russa had a few things to say.
I want to hear more.
This is Overtime on KMOX.
It's 8:53. Welcome to round three of OT. Charlie Brennan, Amy Marks Kors. I'm Debbie Monterey. In a nationally syndicated interview, former Cards manager Tony La Russa lamented the toll his baseball career has taken on his family. This was on In Depth with Graham Bensinger. He noted that his relationship with his first wife and their two kids was non-existent, and that after one playoff game in 1992, he was so wrapped up in the game that he drove halfway home until he realized he had left his two daughters at the ballpark. Surprised to see Tony La Russa opening up like this, Charlie?
Well, he's kind of addressed this in the past. He once wrote a book with Buzz Bissinger, and this issue was in there. And hats off to Graham Bensinger for getting this interview and getting Tony to talk about this. You know, my boyhood hero, not boyhood, but when I was in my 20s, Larry Bird was, you know, winning all those championships with the Celtics. And then I found out later that he had a daughter from a real early marriage or a relationship, and he had no contact with her. And I don't understand it. I just don't understand how guys can put career over kids. Tony admits that he did this. I had a friend who was an OBGYN with two cute kids, and then he divorced his wife and moved to North Carolina, and the kids are here in St. Louis. I don't understand how people do that. I also realize I shouldn't judge from afar. I don't have all the facts, but to me, it's not worth it.
Yeah, I'm surprised he maybe was willing to open up a bit more. Tony La Russa tends to be a little bit more tight-lipped when it comes to these personal stories. And the fact that he's addressed it before, often that can be it. Like, okay, I shared about it. I'm done. So he did open up. That couldn't have been easy. But I'm with Charlie. I don't know how you have a family and then can just put up a wall so it's like they don't even exist. They're not part of you. Especially with kids, they are physically part of you. And it's one of the more unrelatable things, right? Where you're trying to have empathy or understand, and your first reaction is to judge, right? Because how can you really have empathy? But man, it's just so unrelatable. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know how you do it.
I have a cousin in Ohio, and she's probably late 60s or maybe 70 now. Her daughter abandoned the family, including her own daughter. And so my cousin, who's the grandmother, is now taking care of her granddaughter. And she hasn't seen her daughter for 2 years. This is, you know, because the grandmother's taking care of the granddaughter. The daughter, the mother of the granddaughter, is gone. AWOL. Who knows? There might be some mental issues there. I don't know. But how do you do that? How do you leave kids? I mean, that's a number one priority. You have one job, kids.
But I bet it does happen, as you just mentioned, more than we think.
Well, I think generally men who do it because they can. And I think women get their careers suffer because they can't. So the men leave, they're the caretakers, their career suffers, and the guy gets to go off to, you know,
not in my cousin's case, it's the mom leaving.
True. We know, weird. I think we all know a lot of grandmas who are raising their kids. Okay, let's get what's on tap here. It's sponsored for you by Big Plumbing.
Tashara Jones, the treasurer for the city of St. Louis, is going to be with us. Also, we're going to talk to the biographer of Phyllis Schlafly. His name is Don Critchlow. You know, Schlafly is going to be portrayed by Kate Blanchett in an upcoming movie or TV series. Also this morning, we're going to talk to folks in our first of our series of conversations on how do we attract young people to St. Louis.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.